Good morning, friends. It's Friday with Jim here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins. Ably assisted by Mr. Terry Wilson, our engineer par excellence. Friday show was conceived by Lisa Smith, and then she immediately abandoned ship, and so I'm here. Fortunately, we have an excellent guest with us this morning, Brett Estes, who is the city manager for the city of Astoria. Brett, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks, Jim.
I'd like to start out, tell me a little bit about yourself, Brett. Aren't you from Texas?
I am.
TCU?
Oh, I'm not a horned frog. I am from Texas and went to high school just right down the road from TCU in Fort Worth. I went to high school outside of Fort Worth in Grapevine. It was my hometown. If you've flown into DFW Airport, Dallas Fort Worth Airport, you've been to Grapevine. You can say that. But I am an Aggie, a proud Texas A&M Aggie, and I got a undergraduate degree in landscape architecture from Texas A&M, and then went on and got my master's in urban planning and historic preservation from Texas A&M. So I'm an Aggie all around.
Well, historic preservation, you've ended up in the right job for that.
No, that's true. I'll tell you that my first job right out of school was in the city of Bryan, Texas. And the way I kind of explain the geography around Texas A&M University, there's two towns. There's College Station, which is where Texas A&M is located, and then there's Bryan. It'd be like in Eugene in Springfield, where University of Oregon is in Eugene, and then there's Springfield right adjacent to it. Same type of situation. We're two fairly good sized towns right next to them, and Bryan is definitely the equivalent of Springfield. It's definitely the blue collar, rougher around the edges community of the two. And I started my career there and worked in Bryan for almost 5 years, and then got a job up in Oregon in Hillsboro, and didn't have as much historic preservation work there. Mm-hmm. And it was great to be able to come to Astoria about 8.5 years ago now.
Well, when you were in Texas, then you were looking to get a job in Oregon?
It was something where I was wanting to go someplace different. I'd lived in Texas my entire life and wanted to go someplace new, go someplace different. And I actually went to a conference, an urban planning conference in Seattle, Washington, in the late 90s. And afterwards, I took the train down from Seattle to Portland just to see what that was all about, and really fell in love with the Pacific Northwest. And after that, it was just a place that really caught my attention and where I wanted to end up. So it was kind of a concerted effort to try and head up this way.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And you came here and you were community development for a while.
Right.
As I recall.
Right. So I was hired on by then city manager Paul Benoit as the community development director, and was in that role, got the assistant city manager title added about the sixth year I was here. And so I had community development director / assistant city manager for the end. And then after Paul took a job down in Piedmont, California, city council appointed me the interim city manager.
I'm curious, have you heard from Paul? How's he doing down
there? Oh, I heard from Paul over the holidays. I guess he was back, and he and Connie were back in town over the holidays, and they have one of their sons lives in town, and the son and his wife and their grandkids live back in Astoria, so they have reasons to visit back up this way. So we didn't get to touch base in person, but we're able to talk briefly. So
yeah. Well, as city manager now, you've got kind of a lot of irons in the fire. One that's pretty obvious right now is the development of Heritage Square down the old Safeway block.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that right now they're digging dirt out of there. Maybe you can describe that project, and where do we want to end up with Heritage Square?
Sure. So let's talk about what's going on there right now, because there's several front end loaders that are doing some work in a dump truck with over in the Duane Street right of way.
Those are excavators.
Excavators. Yeah. Thank you for the. I guess front end loader is more of a bigger blade. Is that correct?
Well, a front end loader is more of a scoop.
Okay, there you are. And it takes someone in the construction industry like you, Jim, to be able to correct me. Thank you for doing that. But you got the heavy equipment in there.
Yes.
And the city received an Environmental Protection Agency grant several years ago to, first of all, complete the assessment work needed to be able to see, what sort of contaminants were in the soil. There had been quite a bit of assessment work done in advance, but kind of the final detailed work had not been completed. And so the grant covered that, and then it also included money for what they call remediation. And this was actually the first year that the Environmental Protection Agency gave grants that had both assessment and remediation dollars together. Before then, you had to go through two separate application processes. Mm. And so we were lucky that we were one of, I think, 10 communities across the United States to get one of these new types of grants. Well, we went through the whole assessment phase. It took longer than we had hoped. We had to address all the issues that the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality needed to have addressed. They needed all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, but we got that work completed and then got the sign-off to be able to start removing some of the soil. Now, there's two areas that we're having to address. First of all, in the pit, as I'm going to call it, the former Safeway basement, there is spoils that were taken off of the Garden of Surging Waves site.
Yeah.
And Jim, you're aware of that. You're the construction project manager for that, for the Garden of Surging Waves. And
yeah, but Brett, remind me, what was on that site prior that leads us to suspect this contamination?
So, but prior to that, the contamination was left by three different entities. First of all, there was an Oldsmobile dealership. Located where the former Safeway is located, and that Oldsmobile dealership was on Duane Street. There was also a printing press on Exchange Street. The printing press was one of the former iterations of the Daily Astorian.
Uh-huh.
The printing press, and then there was a dry cleaner also located on Exchange Street. So there's leftover contamination from the Oldsmobile dealership, from the printing press, and from the dry cleaner. And that's what we're having to deal with. There was also, going back to what we were talking about earlier, the spoils mm-hmm. from the construction of the Garden of Surging Waves, there was materials that had to be, had some testing done on to see whether or not they were contaminated or not. And rather than we knew we had the grant when we constructed the Garden of Surging Waves, and we knew that the grant funds would pay for the testing. So what we did is we moved those soils from the Garden of Surging Waves site and put them in the former basement of the Safeway,
mm-hmm.
and then did all the testing. What we found is there's really very little contamination there, but and it's really the materials that are in there are things like old asphalt from the parking lot and fire debris from the 1922 fire. The contamination there was so small that we were able to reuse those spoil materials in town. When I say reuse, there's a site that's being filled over to the east side of town, and the spoils will be taken there locally. The good thing is that several reasons. is that it cuts down the cost of having, we don't have to ship those materials all the way over to Hillsboro.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, the EPA is looking at also how much greenhouse gas is being spent by having to haul those materials. And so it's actually less greenhouse gas is going by having the trucks to haul all those, all that dirt across the Coast Range over to Hillsboro. So it was kind of a win-win there. The other materials that we're having to remove are under the parking lot on the east side of that block, the east side of Heritage Square. People may not realize that the parking lot at the corners of Duane and 12th and Exchange, that big parking lot, it's hollow underneath, completely hollow. And it's all built up with concrete posts and on built on pilings. So there's contamination under there, which is a little bit more severe. What we have right now is if you go over to that site, you'll see there's a little Bobcat tractor which is going underneath there and pulling out that material. That material is having to be hauled to Arlington in eastern Oregon. Huh. So there's two different areas that we're having to pull out materials, and they'll go in different shipments to different areas.
How much is going to have to go to Arlington?
It's really a small amount. I mean, there's two kind of pockets that they're having to be addressed. In the scheme of things, it's the quantity is much smaller.
Yeah.
What we're having to do is also work around those pilings, and we've had a structural engineer take a look at pulling out that dirt. We don't want to affect the stability of that parking lot, and so we've had a structural engineer take a look at that to make sure that won't be compromised.
Well, then, once the dirt is gone and it's kind of cleaned up, then what's the plan?
So at this point, our city council has been, one of their goals for this current fiscal year was to look at the possibility of a mixed-use building on Heritage Square. Mixed-use meaning possibly library on ground floor with housing on upper floors. And through this last fall, there was a planning exercise which our community development department and our community development director, Kevin Cronin, and library director, Jane Tucker, led to look at this possibility. And the report has been prepared. The city council has reviewed the report at one of their meetings and has actually scheduled a work session next week, on Tuesday next week in the morning at 9 o'clock in the morning in the flag room of the library to be able to continue discussions. This will be just a work session where they're wanting to just discuss their thoughts on this matter. And so those dialogues are still going on. We don't have a direction yet from the city council as to whether or not they want to pursue the library or housing at Heritage Square or one or the other. But we're anticipating that should be coming here, probably within the next month or so.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to remind our listeners that it is Friday here at Coast Community Radio. I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, and we're visiting with Brett Estes, city manager for the City of Astoria. Brett, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Prior we were talking about the fact that you were from Texas.
Sure.
We have a listener that called in with a joke about Texas. If I were the devil and I owned Texas, what would I do? I would rent it out Texas and live in hell.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can say I'm proud to be from Texas. So how does that sound? It's all my family is still down in Texas. I miss my family. I miss the food. Let me tell you, I don't miss the heat and some other things. So,
well, there's a lot of other interesting projects that the city's getting into. One that I'm kind of, we spoke about it briefly before the show, is the improvements on Irving Avenue.
Sure.
Now, if Highway 30 became plugged at some point down by Safeway or somewhere in there where that big landslide is, Irving Street becomes a way to get around that. And I know that we've just completed one Irving Street Bridge. What further improvements are planned up there?
Sure. So this last fall, we dedicated the new Irving Street Bridge, which is closer to the heart of downtown. There are two bridges on Irving Street,
yeah.
And I'm talking about towards the east end, east stretch of Irving. And we've replaced the one which is the westernmost closest to downtown. That bridge project was primarily paid for by an ODOT grant, an Oregon Department of Transportation grant. And we were able to do some things like add sidewalks on that bridge, some amenities which we didn't have on the earlier bridge, which was aging.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to have some discussions about replacing the other Irving Street Bridge to the east. And, you know, these are just some preliminary conversations and that we're having with ODOT. And, you know, it would be ideal if we could look at securing yet another ODOT grant. And then, you know, that whole stretch of Irving Street Bridge infrastructure will be complete and providing more of that stability, as you say, Jim, in case of if Highway 30 is plugged up for some reason, you know, Irving Street is really our way to be able to get east and westbound throughout mm-hmm. the community.
Yeah. And what other projects is the city doing that you're interested in talking about, Brett?
So let's keep on talking about bridges. It's
okay.
we already have an $8.2 million grant that we've received from ODOT to replace the bridge ends along, or street ends, along the waterfront downtown. And people may not really kind of think about this, but if you think it from at 6th Street, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, those roadways extend out to kind of like piers over the water.
Yeah, they're built on piling and stuff.
Right, you're correct. And so we've received an ODOT grant to rebuild those street ends. The grant doesn't take it all the way out to the waterfront. So a lot of times those improvements at the waterfront are privately built, but we'll be rebuilding them through the where the trolley line is located, and that's going to be happening here. It's looking like 2017, 2018. We're in the design phase right now, and we have a working group that is being coordinated by our engineering department staff with the property owners along that area to keep them in the loop, and we'll be needing to have a lot of coordination with those property owners because in many times that's their only means of access is by these roadways on either side of their property. And
mm-hmm.
if you talk about, you know, businesses like Bowie Beer Company, they receive deliveries and you know, make shipments through the 7th Street or 8th Street right-of-ways. There's no other way to access their property besides those two bridges.
Well, a lot of that shoreline is controlled and owned by the Division of State Lands, DSL. Mm-hmm. Where is the interface, the projects that you're talking about, where is that interface with the DSL?
So, you know, we're going to be doing work within the city right-of-way.
Okay.
Or when I say city right away, it's public right away. It's dedicated to the public, and so there is all the coordination that we have to do though with all the permitting agencies, with Department of State Lands, with Corps of Engineers. You know, that's all part of the permit and design process. But in this case, you know, the work we're going to be doing is within the right of way, and within areas that the city of Astoria maintains, improvements that the city of Astoria, road improvements that the city of Astoria owns and maintains. Right now, a lot of those improvements are wood. We're looking at using concrete up through that area. It's going to have more longevity associated with it, and then also lower repair costs in the future.
You know, I haven't been to a council meeting in a while, but it looks to me like the city council that you've got now is a pretty diverse group. How is that working together with those people?
I'll tell you, you're right. I mean, we have a council that has who's very passionate. I mean, they're all very strong individuals, strong personalities, and they're coming together, and I think they're starting to work together to be able to move things forward. Whenever you have a new city council or any group, it sometimes takes a while for group dynamics to be able to develop, and I'm really proud, how things have moved forward over this past year with everyone getting to know one another and starting to understand how each other work to be able to move things forward. There's with any group of people, not everyone's going to agree on every issue, and that's fine. And whenever there's a decision that's made, to be able to look and say, okay, that's the decision's been made and move forward. That's the positive thing, and I'm seeing that happen now.
I think it was 1972, the city signed a stipulation agreement with the DEQ, forced by the EPA, really to deal with our combined sewers.
Mm-hmm.
And people that live here know that for the last few years, our streets have been gradually dug up and fixed and monkeyed around with to the tune of some $40 or $50 million, actually. What do we have to look forward to regarding the CSO project?
So this last year, we completed most of what we called the 16th Street Combined Sewer Overflow Project. And there was one portion of that project which was put on hold until next summer. And that's the work that will happen within the 16th Street right-of-way. That deferred...
That's up by the college?
That's correct. And that was deferred because... of the work that the community college is doing on the renovation of Patriot Hall. The construction schedules for the 16th Street CSO and Patriot Hall at first was thought that they would align. However, in the end, they didn't. And it was requested by the college that work not happen because they were doing demolition work at the time. And they needed the 16th Street right-of-way to be able to do that demo work at Patriot Hall. So what we've done is we held off on completing that portion of the project until this next summer, and then we'll be completely dialed in. What's interesting is that with our combined sewer overflow project, we test after a project is complete to see what sort of success levels did we achieve. And what we're finding is we may... our levels of success from some of our recent projects may have been better than what we had anticipated. So, the next project after the 16th Street CSO project was anticipated to be something around the Barbie Center, perhaps, and kind of that area of town. What we're going to have to do is, after we complete the project this summer, is really see how does it work, and that next phase may be amended to, we're hoping for a project which may not be as large or something which may not need to be as big. And so that's what we're hopeful for, at least. So stay tuned.
Well, how many more of the CSO projects are anticipated?
I'll tell you, I can't give you the full number of the projects, but what I can tell you is that when the city started the CSO work, we completed the projects which were the most affordable and had the most impact. the final projects are the ones which are the most expensive but have the least amount of impact. We need them. We need them to achieve our goal, but they do have they do come at the highest cost. We'd probably want to pull our public works director, Ken Cook, in, and he'd be able to talk a little bit more specifically.
Yeah, I think we're trying
numbers.
To get him lined up.
Okay.
Terry, go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering, Brett, what's the latest on the Flavel M&N properties down on Commercial? What's the latest there?
Okay. So the just to set the stage a little bit, people may recall that the city had been using our derelict building ordinance over the past few years to getting some movement from the Flavel family on their house and the commercial buildings downtown. So we were successful in coming to a settlement agreement with the Flavels to where they would move forward on selling some of the properties. The house has been sold. It's you can see now it's being renovated, new roof and copper gutters on it, and electricity back on the house.
And Christmas decorations.
Christmas decorations. That's correct. Then with the commercial properties downtown, they put the buildings up for kind of auction, I believe is the correct term, and they had some bidders. However, I understand that the minimum bid was not achieved. So the Flavel conservator is having to go back to the board to be able to figure out how they're going to sell the properties. What I will note is that there is a time frame on this settlement agreement between the city and the Flavel families that they have to perform by a certain date or the city can re-engage with code enforcement. So stay tuned, more is to come on those commercial properties.
Well, Brett, we've got about a minute and a half left. I wonder if you've got any final words of wisdom for our listeners.
Well, I'll tell you that, I think it's an exciting time in Astoria. I mean, new and different projects that that our council is wanting to take on. You know, stay tuned for more with regards to the library and Heritage Square. The council is wanting to take on I'm going to call it a beautification project on the west end of town from the roundabout over to the Doughboy. Some sort of streetscape project over in that area. So there's definitely going to be more to come on improvements to our community. We have a great staff. We have all of our department heads are full. We had quite a bit of change in staffing over the past few years, but I'm proud to say we're back up and staffed, and I'm really proud to be able to work with a great city council and with a phenomenal team at the city of Astoria. It's really great time to be here.
Well, Brett Estes has been our guest here on Friday with Jim, city manager for City of Astoria. Brett, I appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And next week we'll be visiting with Zeddy Nemowell, who's on the Astoria City Council. And after that,
we used to work here.
Yes, she did. She used to work here.
She used to do news for us.
Yep. So at any rate, thanks for being with us, and talk to you next week. Goodbye.